The Lifeboat Hour with Michael Rupert, Sundays at 9 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Mike Rupert, I'm back. It is Sunday, July 3rd, 2011. We're going to talk about a lot of things tonight. But let's take care of some important business first about the month of July and what is happening in very, very early in this month of July. We'll get to the events of the last couple of weeks a little bit later on. No guests tonight if you want to call in. I won't be taking calls probably till half past the hour, but the number is 1-888-874-4888, or you can email me direct at lifeboathour@collapsenet.com. lifeboathour@collapsenet.com. All right, from the Taipan Publishing Group. Now, this is, bear in mind, those of you who don't know, that I had issued a warning back in April that July would be the month when everything really started to become totally unraveled and we would see major economic dislocations, and they're here. You may not have heard about them. That don't mean that. And I'm going to tell you about that right now. From the Taipan Publishing Group, why civil unrest is sweeping the globe. If you're a member of CollapseNet, you've been on the World News Desk, you're very well aware about how riots are moving. All 750,000 people in the streets of London last week. Anyway, attempts to save the morally bankrupt financial system will fuel further instances of civil unrest until the system itself finally implodes. That's an official, that's a mainstream news. It's great. We are seeing it on multiple continents now, and it is only a matter of time before it hits the U.S. It's hitting right now. Saturday, July 2nd, from the Toronto Star, OECD, that's the Organization of Economic Cooperation and Development. I guess 26 nations, the most powerful nations in the world, that was one of the biggest clubs of all to belong to. OECD warns of future unrest in the global economy. Pandemic, cyber attacks, financial crises, civil unrest, and geomagnetic storms. These are the five global shocks that could destabilize the global economy, according to a new report by the OECD. Blah, blah, blah. All right, now let's get into some of the nuts and bolts. You know that, by the way, the government, the state of Minnesota shut off. It's shut down. 23,000 of 36,000 state employees have been furloughed. Ohio just privatized pensions. Pennsylvania slashes school funding. This is from Mike Shedlock, who we put regularly on the World News Desk because of his good work. Jenna Orkin, who runs... Who is the Duchess of the World News Desk, commented, try to see the glass in Minnesota as one-third full. Yeah, and in California, we just passed a draconian budget. We're going to see major cuts in BART in the Bay Area. State parks are closing. Inmates being let out of prison, that's been going on. I mean, these are drastic, drastic cuts. These are the shutdowns now that people are going to feel real quickly. But now, here's my two favorite stories of the week. Both from, one is from 1 July and one is from 3 July, but both from Reuters. Here's the headline. Global economy. Asia factory growth fades as new orders dry up. And the one on from Reuters on 1st of July was Eurozone factory growth slows as orders dry up. Okay, from an economic standpoint, even as much as I've talked about earnings reports as one indicator, when factory orders dry up, that is one of the clearest signals that economies are shutting down right now. And to have these stories run in the same week, it's very clear that what we looked for in July, what I was calling for, is taking place. Not necessarily all due to the supply chain disruptions as a result of Fukushima, which are still wreaking havoc throughout much of the economy, but it's all the other things that are in play as well. The worsening civil unrest around the world, oil prices out of control, corruption, and Dominique Strauss-Kahn. Okay. It was clear to me when Dominique Strauss-Kahn was arrested that it was a setup. I was a cop, and I saw both the police and the press acting very aggressively for someone who was innocent, presumed guilty. But I noticed that that happened just as it was becoming known that Greece absolutely had to have another bailout, was going to go crawling hat in hand to the IMF and get raped again, which is exactly what happened. Of course, Greece has been in flames, and that's getting very much worse. We have a lot of good must-see videos on CollapseNet that you might take a look at. We can try to keep you updated there as we can. So Strauss-Kahn, Dominique Strauss-Kahn, was a guy who had said he thought some of the senior bondholders deserved haircuts. He thought that imposing harsher even already than the ones that Greece is not living with now, austerity measures were not going to do any good. So he gets arrested. Boom, then the IMF-EU negotiations take place over Greece. Greece gets raped again, and that bailout will not last. Greece is still going to default, as is every industrialized nation. But then, like 3 days after the bailout is signed, all of a sudden Dominique Strauss-Kahn's case disappears. The way I described this on the World News Desk was to say that the gods on Olympus are fighting, and we but hear the thunder. That's kind of the way it feels. But I'm looking for fallout on that, because until you change the way money works, you change nothing. Report. This is from Pioneer Press, Midwest publication. Factories slowing in Midwest. Factory orders are dropping off all throughout the Midwest. Saudi Arabia's clerics are now challenging, this is from The Guardian, July 1, King Abdullah's reform agenda. Ah, the backlash. King Abdullah starts giving out the bribes. I don't know how many billions, 35 billion in one tranche, more later. Liberalizing things, giving reforms to ease the pressure, and now the Wahhabi clerics are after him. That's a no-win situation. The Saud family is doomed sooner or later, one way or another. They cannot walk that knife edge for much longer. Here's a good piece of journalism I caught this week. This is from the Hazelwood Patch, July 1st. Nice to see somebody doing real journalism. Throughout the nation and here today locally, copper thefts are continuing to rise, so much so that in a New York Times article, the FBI referred to them as a threat to the nation's baseline ability to function. Close quote. The Department of Energy estimates copper thefts cost the nation almost $1 billion per year, according to the Coalition Against Copper Theft. Copper thieves are now targeting empty commercial properties. They're looting abandoned buildings, but they're also ripping out electrical power that has affected state police. I think in Virginia, it shut down other emergency services. And this is a booming industry. I'm seeing big numbers, $600,000 theft here. And, you know, they're not blazing the numbers. You have to look for them. But it's clear that this is a growth industry, and it's becoming increasingly dangerous. I guess the good news is that it might be contributing to what Ben Bernanke and Tim Geithner would call the gross domestic product, if it puts money into circulation. That's the kind of perversity they have there. But this is getting really serious. I'm watching that along with the growing incidents of mob violence that are occurring around the country. Now let's go zap over to Pakistan for a bit. The ensuing 10 days are very critical for the Indian farming sector as the scope of diminished monsoons looms large over India, and that's by way of segueing into the catastrophic, unprecedented weather events that we're seeing all around us. Forget a bumper harvest this year. The weather patterns seem to me, you could say maybe they're operating intelligently. I don't know. But when, for example, I see a Richter 9 earthquake on a fault directly aim at Fukushima. When I see flood waters coming down into Nebraska from the Dakota territories, states, threatening Fort Calhoun, and when I see a major fire threatening the Los Alamos nuclear labs, I do kind of have to ask, and I think it's a reasonable question, if Mother Earth is not trying to tell us something. As I said recently in the latest update that I did for members of CollapseNet, I would gladly give my life joyously with a big, big old grin on my face if that would bring about the shutting down of 444, I think that's what it is, nuclear reactors around the world. That's not counting nuclear vessels on the seas. But trades don't get made like that a lot. But these weather incidents are just breathtaking. And guess what? Japan is bracing for the hottest summer on record. Now, we have a dear friend in Japan, rice farmer, who I've known for probably a decade, and who is one of the backbones of our world news desk at CollapseNet. And he grows rice in Japan. And remember that Japan has lost some 20 gigawatts of electrical power, and there is no air conditioning, and they are shutting down, they are cutting back everywhere, and yet people are still trying to work in gigantic office buildings that don't have electricity and windows that won't open. Story came out from CBS MarketWatch. California breaking up. Now, if you followed me for a while, if you've seen any of my talks in the last 2-3 years or my videos, I've said very clearly California can't possibly remain as one state. Energy is what holds big geographic areas together. MarketWatch put up a story on June 30th. A lawmaker from Southern California reportedly is using the 4th of July holiday weekend to call for independence for 13 countries in the southern and east counties, in the southern and easternmost parts of the state. Riverside County Supervisor Jeff Stone wants his county and a dozen others to secede from the rest of California in protest of taxes, state raids on local funds. I mean, how much... For all of us who helped put this map together over the years, the last decade, it's proven to be a pretty good map. And so Minnesota is shut down. There are gunfights in Yemen from the Yemen Post from July 1st at filling stations. People waiting in line for days, running out of food and water, and people are getting killed. I guess that's one way to destroy demand. Man charged with copper theft that knocked out state phone lines. That's from the Daily Mail staff, June 29th, Charleston, West Virginia. One person has been charged with grand larceny and the theft of copper wires near the Department of Agriculture. Do you get that things are out of control? Do you? I think I want to set up a new white trash song. We've already got a bunch of emails coming in. I'm not going to go to the questions yet, because I want to talk about this retreat I did and what happened to us, what we experienced, which I find actually pretty encouraging. We're going to do that after our new white trash song, which is one of the ones that I wrote. It's one of the ones that I had a big hand in, and it's now about a year and a half since it's been written, and listening to it today, it feels a whole lot more relevant than it did then when we wrote it. The words have a little more meaning. The song is called Free Fall. We'll be back. You're the new white trash. Said that it is not a wise thing to clutch onto rocks that are falling with you. I just thought I'd throw that out. So here we are back after the song. One other little news item I left out on July 1st, Der Spiegel reported that Denmark is reinstituting passport and border controls next week. That breaks the EU, baby. That's one of the fundamental parts of the of the EU charter and members pulling out. So everything is proceeding like we said it would. Now let's talk about some time off here. I took a spiritual retreat because it was all getting to be a little overwhelming. I needed to step back, catch my breath, and really make inquiries in my way as to what direction I should be going and what direction CollapseNet should be going. And it is essential to sometimes step away from this, even as compelling as it sounds. That was a very, very productive time. I got to see clearly that it's not just lifeboats that we're talking about. It's arcs that we're talking about, too. And arcs are much roomier and much more comfortable and have more amenities than lifeboats. And arcs are establishing and functioning communities of people that are caring for each other. I'm in a beautiful ark here in Sebastopol, but there are, as I know from CollapseNet, as I know from the effects of the documentary Collapse, I talked to Chris Smith, by the way, this week. He's doing good, and it was nice to hear from him. I may come back to that, but that's a personal share. But so as I was away, and I spent a lot of time in meditation and fasting from news, I began to really understand, especially as a result of this show, as a result of CollapseNet and all the work being done throughout the movement by Transition US and everywhere else, that there are arcs everywhere. And from my perspective, Mother Earth has scattered those seeds in thousands and thousands of places all over the planet. What I came to understand was that enough will survive. Nobody knows which ones. Nobody knows where they are. It doesn't make a difference. It's the seeds. You know, some of them make it, and there's plenty of them now. I think our consciousness is that firmly rooted now. And what I learned, when I took those 4 days off, it was the first time in the year that we had been running CollapseNet that I did not have direct hands-on daily control of our editorial process. And we formed a good editorial committee consisting of John Barnes, our supervising editor, Wes Miller, our COO, Max Mogren, and Luis Mora, our ops manager. And they really performed very, very well in terms of picking the stories that went up and how they were placed on the website. Max is a great digger and natural born reporter. Our coverage of the nuclear event threat at Fort Calhoun became very aggressive. It became reporting like we had done it from the wilderness when I was fearlessly side comparing New York Times versus U.S. government and just showing how badly everybody was lying. And we pushed some buttons. Having come back from the retreat last Sunday, I was just getting ready to put up a follow-on story about how the media, how severe the media blackout was, and how intense the lies were, and all of a sudden emails started disappearing out of my inbox. Got a hold of Max. He could not access the website. He could not access Facebook or Twitter. Got a hold of John. John couldn't get into the website either, and it was a sequential and selective turnoff of many of our IT functions across many different platforms. That was a very clear message. I did manage to get a hold of Wes Miller, our COO, and he still had access just to get that quick notice up on the homepage, but we were still limited for a while. But that notice served the purpose. We have friends now, and I think that everybody who is involved in let's say searching for the 100th monkey, or involved in this struggle to change human consciousness and change our own as well, needs to know that we're underestimating how much influence we have. That became clear to me as I made contacts, to people I've met over the years and remain very good friends with, and who have been good friends to us, and said, hey, man, do they really want this fight with me now? And they don't, and I don't. It was not a fight of my choosing. But within 24 hours, all of our functionality was mysteriously returned. And then we found out that John Barnes's personal email had been turned off, too. So, let's not play games here and try to be coy at the wrong times. Everybody in government everywhere knows who everybody is, and I know that they read all of our stuff in real time. But we are, as I've said in recent speeches, living in the empty spaces between the ones and zeros of Cartesian tyranny because we're not breaking any laws. And they can't see us. We're invisible. And that was another great part of my retreat. Over the past, since I've moved to Sebastopol, I've had several encounters with foxes, and in Native American spirituality, these were positive encounters. And fox medicine is among other things invisibility. And what occurred to me this week, and I think it's profound for all of us, and I hope people like Dmitri and Orloff and Carolyn Baker and Rich Heinberg and everybody Transition US, everybody's listening. I hope. Invisibility is a great asset for us now because they cannot see us or acknowledge us, because the moment that mainstream press or government do acknowledge us, the fight's over. So we have good latitudes now to act, to move aggressively, and I would say we all need to say that we've been underestimating how much influence we have. One contact who had once worked in government said real clearly, you guys are holding a dike against a government, against an economic system that is out of control. You're holding the door open. And what we're doing here, all of us in this movement, who get public, who share information, who become alive and active, what we're doing is we're buying more time for more people to build lifeboats. That was a nice message to get this week. We're coming up on a break at the bottom of the hour here. When we come back, I'll start to get to some of the emails. If you want to call in tonight, the number is 1-888-874-4888. Or if you want to email me directly, you can do that at lifeboathour@collapsenet.com. We'll be back right after this message. See ya.
Wash them down with Kool-Aid, it really doesn't matter. When you feel it.
The most news anywhere on the internet. ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com, your number one source for everything progressive.
Hello, I'm Dr. Helen Caldicott, and you can hear my program, If You Love This Planet, right here on the Progressive Radio Network, every Sunday at 3 p.m. Please join me as I interview a huge variety of special guests from around the world about a range of topics, including the health of the planet and prescriptions for survival. So, if you do love this planet, tune in to the Progressive Radio Network every Sunday at 3 p.m.
Hi, this is Karen Hartglass, host of It's All About Food on the Progressive Radio Network. Please join me every Wednesday at 3 p.m. when we talk about the power of the fork, how our food choices affect our health, the environment, and the treatment of animals. Learn how a plant-based diet of fruits, vegetables, whole grains, legumes, nuts, and seeds is not only delicious, but gentle on the planet.
Join us, Bruce and Marianne Curtis, Fridays at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Progressive Radio Network for Truth and Freedom. We present provocative conversations with the world's most brilliant minds in the areas of holistic health, spiritual wisdom, politics, and a host of other topics. Some of our topics include the latest work in non-invasive therapy on the brain, the truth beneath the global economic meltdown, healing power of the breath, and the sublime truth beyond all religious traditions. In this age of transformation, we need to look beneath the surface appearance of things to see the underlying reality. From material that is always illuminating and often liberating, tune in to Truth and Freedom on the Progressive Radio Network Fridays at 3 p.m.
The Progressive Radio Network, the driving force behind intelligent, thought-provoking commentary. If it's worth knowing, it's on the Progressive Radio Network.
Yeah, you can watch CNN down with Kool-Aid. You can watch Fox down with Kool-Aid. It's all going to upset your stomach anyway. That was Take These, a bass track played for us at New White Trash by Arthur Barrow, Frank Zappa, and the Mothers of Invention. If you like the New White Trash songs tonight, you can find them at www.newwhitetrash.com. We have a double CD. Double wide, 37 original songs, which yours truly sings on 20 and co-wrote 13 with band members Doug Lewis and Andy Kravitz, and some really great people down in Venice about a year and a half, 2 years ago. And we're glad you like the music, and I'm even more glad that it's holding up. So thanks for letting me do that little pitch to you. All right, coming back, we got a caller on the phone, Bobby from New Jersey. Are you there?
Yes, Mr. Cooper, how you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Okay. You had a guest on some time back. It was doing either December or January, sometime around there. It was an attorney. And he was talking about states' rights as people could get into. I tried contacting him but couldn't get him. And I wanted to know if you had any knowledge on admiralty law.
It's never been of real concern to me. I know that back in the late 90s there was a group of guys coming, if you will, from the right who were talking a lot about it. But to me, that's at best a symptom. I mean, my work says that until you change the way money works, you change nothing. And has been on peak oil on the fundamentals and anything else. I haven't found anything absolutely sinister in admiralty law, and certainly nothing more sinister than I found in a whole bunch of other official places. So I'm sorry, I haven't paid a lot of attention to it.
Oh, okay. Because I was wondering, I read a book called They Own It All, and it talked about that extensively, and I forgot where I got it at. I either got it off of one of the programs on the web. and I was interested in trying to at least contact, you know, some of the attorneys to find out what it is, because it seems like it stops, you know, our programs. It has a lot to do with what's happening now, and a type of religious order that is actually seizing our country or our world. I don't know how much of
true. No, I don't. That's, like I said a long time ago, if I ever find somebody who is a Mason, a member of Opus Dei, a member of the Ku Klux Klan, a member of the Mafia, a member of you know, all of these things at the same time, I'll shoot him on sight, because that's Mr. Big. Otherwise, I'm just wasting my time.
Oh, okay. All right, Mr. Hubert, I appreciate it.
All right, man. Thank you. Okay, we got an email from John. Hi, Michael. Last week, Max Kaiser talked about fallout from Fukushima affecting the west coast of the USA. Considering that you live on the west coast, how does Max's opinion affect you? Well, that's his opinion, and that's okay, but I got to tell you, I have a radiation detector here in Sebastopol. Aside from two or three days when it gave off some clicks right after Fukushima, it has been silent here. And you know, I'm not leaving here for anything. I found the people I want to stand with. I found the place I want to stand, and I'm tired of moving, you know, and I'm not going anywhere. I'm on 2 acres. We have 40 edibles in the ground here now, 40. Of course, they aren't all edible yet. They have to grow, but that's what the summer's for, and we're going through that. And there is no place to run. There is no place that's risk-free. I don't know why people would expect that at this late hour there might still be such a place. I'm staying here. We got... from Will Broom, he writes, Mike, we have about $10,000 worth of physical silver in a leveraged account with a reputable metals dealer. We got a call this last Friday saying that we either had to have the silver delivered to house or cash out and get a check sent. They said that a new tax law had been passed called which makes it illegal for us to purchase precious metals. I've heard a little bit about it, and basically my reaction to that, Will, was no offense. That's why I've been saying all these years, you never buy paper anything. You buy the bullion. You hold the metal. And I have never recommended anything else. This is one of the many reasons. If there's any way you can get your hands on that silver, I strongly, strongly encourage you to do that. Okay, coming in, 1-888-888-874-4888. If you want to call in and ask a question tonight, email is lifeboathour@collapsenet.com. Multitasking gets me again. David Scott, when do you think the U.S. will collapse like the Soviet Union did? Do you think the U.S. will break up after collapse? Well, I'm seeing it happen. Again, you know, this collapse doesn't happen in a microsecond, but I'm seeing it happen very clearly right now. The United States is backed up against a wall in way too many places, and we are facing, among other things, a very, very serious military challenge in Iraq and in Afghanistan. We're trying to pull out of Afghanistan. The attacks are increasing, but in Iraq, the Mehdi army of Muqtada al-Sadr has got its track shoes on, it's drilled, it's got its gear. It's allied with Iran. China owns a refinery and oil rights in central Iraq. Their first distribution facility has come on stream. So the Chinese National Petroleum Corporation, that is a state-owned, that is the nation of China in Iraq, and it is very clear that by December 31st of this year, the ultimata have been given time and time again. If every U.S. troop is not out of Iraq, there will be war. There will be serious war. And we have seen the attacks already increasing. Moves have been made in a number of Iraqi cities to prevent or forbid U.S. military personnel from entering government buildings. Iraq is ready to blow up at the U.S., and if there's any instability in Iraq, the Chinese military will be there in a heartbeat to protect Chinese national interests. That's just one of many major issues that are coming right now, along with the now pretty evident economic implosion that I was predicting in July, as evidenced by the two Reuters stories and one other story from the U.S. showing that manufacturing orders are dropping off a cliff around the globe. The EU is breaking up. We're having prolonged weather. We don't have to go through the list now. Yes. So it's happening right now. If you want an exact date, dude, I can't tell you. One other thing, though, came to me very clearly. Dave, and I thank you for this question because it helps me to bring up this point, is that when do you think it will happen, and how do you define collapse? And nobody was ever able, when they asked me that question, when do you think it'll happen? Well, what is it? Nobody was ever able to define it, and it for me now is very, very clearly a point in time when everything that we know about what's going on in the outside world comes from within 5 or 10 miles of where we live. Cyber war is the rage all over the planet now. We're seeing government systems being taken down. We're seeing financial systems being taken down. We're seeing all kinds of compromises. We're seeing power shortages. We're seeing copper theft affect the ability of transformers to carry electricity that are powering. So, I mean, this is going on, and I see that happening in between now and the early part of next year. Let's say for shits and giggles the winter solstice. But it's all happening that fast. The U.S. absolutely, positively will break up as it collapses. Don't misinterpret my words. I've been fighting some battles with that lately from zombies who try to sneak in. I'm not saying that the U.S. will be broken up by December 21st. I'm not saying that. The U.S. cannot hold together. California cannot hold together. Energy is what binds nations together. This nation was bound together by energy, by railroads, by sales, by oil, by petroleum, by the interstate highway system. As the energy goes away, the things which have bound this nation together will go with it, especially because one region will no longer be willing or able to pay taxes or contribute its resources for the benefit of another region of the country. It just won't work. Things break down, not up, not up. Okay, let's go back, see what else we got here. We have from Michael F. Any latest news on Fort Calhoun? Why are they releasing 60 million barrels of oil from strategic reserves? Okay. Calhoun appears to be stabilized. I'm so glad that Arne Gunderson stuck his head up on this, and I think that the aggressive reporting we did on CollapseNet, showing all of the things that could not be trusted in the press, may have helped to force CNN to put him on the air. It was clear as I was dealing with our email hacking and website hacking issues that we had pissed some people off with that coverage. And looking at the hand and glove of what people like us do, and that's me, Transition US, Max Kaiser, it's Gary Null, it's Zero Hedge, it's Arnie, it's Nicole, all of us. We kind of reinforce each other, and I do believe that the pressure we put on made CNN put Arne Gunderson on. He gave a good report and clarified a lot of the bullshit, and that's what we needed, was information that we could trust, and we got it. Okay, this issue about the SPRO, Strategic Petroleum Reserve, that was a great question, Michael. Thank you for that. I have been saying all along on the World News Desk, I've been saying it as long as I've been writing about peak oil, don't do it. Do not release oil from the SPRO for economic reasons. It's only there. It was only created to be there for an interruption of supply from the Middle East. And it is. It was cheap theatrics, and what it has done is I've seen the gasoline prices here in Sebastopol go from $4.19 down to about, I got some for $3.79. That feels like a big break, but remember, that's like 80% higher than it was a couple of years ago. So we got a little break, but now you create the expectation of that. And it's clear that with peak oil so pronounced, that those reserves are not going to be refilled. And I've seen some interesting correspondence this week showing that there are huge tank farms that Goldman Sachs runs in Oklahoma, where corporations have just, you know, enormous off-the-books stockpiles of oil for their use. It was a total mistake. I noticed that it was a coordinated release from the OECD nations, trying to cool oil prices just a little bit, because that really confirms, doesn't it, that we are at the breaking point. That really confirms that if they're that panicked and they got to dip into the SPRO, that they're out of control. They're out of tools. They're out of things to pull in or throw out of the fire, whatever. And this is pure desperation, and it's only going to get worse, and that creates more expectations. Anyway, I'll stop on that. I think you get the point. Jesse Skinner writes, I love your show and the work you've done. Thank you, Jesse. Could you share with us your ideal vision for where humanity is headed, where you hope we will land after collapse? I know the future is a mystery, but I think trying to imagine our destination can give us hope and help focus our efforts. Well, Jesse, what I would recommend that you do is you can go on the Lifeboat Hour archives here for the show from May 22nd, or you can go to the CollapseNet homepage, and in the upper right there's a link to a speech I gave at the Grass Valley EcoFest on May 22nd. It's probably the best and most important speech I'll ever give, and I certainly am grateful to my muse for having blessed me with a lot of those words. But that is my vision for the future. There will be a new species. The new species is post-petroleum human. We will have a completely different consciousness than our predecessor had. We will live by, if you will, sacred rules, as in sacred as in you shall not stick a paperclip into a light socket. That's pretty sacred. Respect the balance for life on this planet. That will come only after a very large and very painful and very messy and very, very emotionally devastating die-off, which has begun. There's a billion people on the brink of starvation right now. But what I do know is that the consciousness of infinite growth and the people who worship infinite growth, the zombies, are going extinct. And so, whatever that world is going to look like, I'm seeing glimpses of it from here in Sebastopol and on the net and through CollapseNet. It's going to be a much nicer, healthier place. And the people who live there, hopefully, they will have learned a lot from Petroleum Man, who was the most aggressively suicide-seeking species that ever lived. There's a question from Tom Waits. Tom Waits, probably not the Tom Waits, but Tom Waits does live up here, the great songwriter who, Tom Waits, the songwriter, bought a case of my DVD, I was told, and it was confirmed by his manager, Truth and Lies of 9/11, and I'm privileged to live in the same county with him. But this is from Tom Waits, who I believe is another fan who's been around for a while. But he says, Hi, Mike. I have been attending local transition town meetings. I've been having a little problem with their philosophy. I wonder if you can shed a little light. They're very rooted in the local movement, growing local food, supporting local businesses, reskilling, etc. They want to be all-inclusive and are engaging in the heart of change discussion to have a more spiritual approach going forward. These are all fantastic things. I heartily endorse these. So do I. They have recently begun a discussion on conflict resolution. The focus seems to be entirely on conflicts within the group. I started to ask questions about conflict coming from outside the group and what to do if the person or persons came to undo or confiscate all the hard work going on. I'm not sure I'm clear on that. The scenario I proposed was it's fall, and we are all engaged in harvesting and food preservation for the coming winter. A large group confronts us with overwhelming force. What do you do? I had one guy actually get mad at me for posing the question. They want to keep the conversation entirely positive. Do you think I was a no? I have seen that, Tom. I have seen that kind of behavior in some transition initiatives, which to me is a holdover from the Pacifica, the code pink, lefty, liberal, feel good, honor everything, and everything is going to be fine. And those are the people that never accomplished anything, and there's a reason why. At this stage of the game, to not anticipate that there will be challenges and maybe people who want to take your stuff is foolhardy. But a lot depends on a lot of things. I do think it is a terrible mistake. It is a panicky mind mistake to believe that somebody's going to put up a sign that says Transition Town and somebody's going to know where everything everybody has is stashed. That is not the way it works. But I can tell you that not all transition towns function that way. That all the initiatives are independent. They're much clearer thinking in some than in others. And I can tell you that I'm involved with some groups here, some people here. We're just doing what we all need to do, and I think we're finding who we need to be with. But I think that it's good that you ask questions like that because sometimes people need to be shocked back into reality. Okay, where are we now? We're at 6:50, and I have, Kim just sent me an email that said test. Well, Kim, if you wanted to know if it went through, it went through. Now I'm back. Okay, so we're down about the last 10 minutes, and I have really, really been feeling positive since I did my spiritual retreat. In my growing confidence and awareness that there are so many of us who get this. There's a reason why, before we came on the show tonight, when Gary Noll was saying that if you type progressive into a Google search, we come right after Fox News and ahead of Pacifica and ahead of NPR, ahead of all of them. And I think that's because we're resonating with reality here. In what was formerly called the progressive movement, with a good deal of its snobbery and a good deal of its class system and a good deal of its hubris, there was never really much connection to reality anyway, and that's always been a great frustration. But necessity does beat us all into a state of reasonableness, and people are as you know, ham and eggs breakfast, man, the chicken's involved, the pig is committed. As people are realizing that we're all pigs now, what's shifting is nothing in the old progressive side. Maybe they're coming around a little bit. I don't care. Hooray if they do. What's shifting is people's ability to distinguish ice cream from BS. That's one of the things that's so encouraging. You can hear that in Gary Noll's voice. You can hear it in mine, that there's a lot of us out who have been so frustrated for so long, and to see what's happening now, to see this awakening taking place, indicates that maybe we have reached the 100th monkey. And I've changed my philosophy about that, because the 100th monkey that I needed to find was the 100th monkey for my species, post-petroleum human. And I do believe that we are awakening so rapidly. We're growing at CollapseNet. I'm going to be writing more feature articles. I'm backing away from the World News Desk for a while, basically because the news stories now are just so self-explanatory, I don't need to comment much. But that's a huge drain, and it has been. And I'm starting on an article now, and I'm going to do a feature article. It's going to be like a journal, and I'm going to be talking about the lessons I see, and I'm seeing other people learn around the world as we go through this, describing some of the emotional challenges and the things we learn about gardening and everything else, just because a lot of you seem to be asking for that. Okay, so I answered that test question, this is fun, for Kim, and she emails back and says, "Hi, Michael, Gary interviewed Judy Wood, author of Where Did the Towers Go? Last week. She thinks directed energy weapons were used on 9/11. You know what, Kim? I don't waste my time on these questions. I absolutely do not. Human industrial civilization is collapsing all around us. I left the 9/11 truth movement in 2004 because of nonsense like this, because I don't care whether Tesla could have been used or not. There is no physical evidence. There is no case to take to court. And I'm really tired of talking about it. I mean, we have more important things to do now. And we really need to focus. You need to think. If you're wasting time worried about whether a Tesla weapon was used on 9/11 instead of getting a garden going, making some friends, stocking up on food, first aid, you know, getting some cash and gold in your house or whatever you decide you need to do for your lifeboat, you may be one of those campers that the bear's going to get a hold of. Down to the last 5 minutes. Okay, guys. What do I expect this next week? I expect a lot more instability in the markets. These earning reports are starting to come in. We just saw the factory orders are down, and that's part of the same quarterly process that takes place throughout the month of July. It was stupid to see the stock market surge this week on the second rape of Greece. We have yet to see how draconian the new austerity measures are going to be in Greece, but I can guarantee you that the Greek people will not tolerate them. And that's pretty easy to guarantee because they aren't tolerating what they got now. And that is a model. I noticed this week also that Italy started to impose some drastic austerity measures, even though it's not going to the IMF yet. Italy is trying to bite the bullet, and of course, Italy is one of the dominoes that not only brings the EU apart, it might bring all of Europe down into a black hole. Spain could do that as well. But watching Italy make these austerity cuts now, before being forced to or even having them on the table, reminds me of a story about an 8-year-old boy who was beaten every day with a belt and had an abusive father. And one day the father walks in, hands him the belt, and says, "You know what to do." I am so praying somewhere, somehow, that Ireland and that Greece find their courage and choose default, bite the bullet like Iceland did. It's going to come sooner or later. But now, as we enter this next week, too, a lot of Meredith Whitney's predictions are going to come true about state and muni bonds, state financing. We're seeing those chips starting to fall. That's coming this week. This is a time when I'm looking around like every other day saying, okay, this could come any minute now. And as Max Keiser said last week, and I'll leave you with this thought, as Max Keiser said last week, and I wholeheartedly agree with him on this, the thing that's most scary to me is a global reign of terror. The thing that Max and I both agree that when civil unrest becomes out of hand, and it's happening really rapidly, 750,000 people in the streets, and we had some great video of that on CollapseNet. When it happens, it's going to happen very fast, and everybody's going to go nuts all at once. The crimes in the United States are getting much, much worse. Cargo thefts are skyrocketing. We're tracking that on the World News Desk. Flash mobs, it's all here. And it could go literally in the space of a week. I don't know if it's next week. I don't know if it's 2 weeks or 3 weeks. But I'm still solidly within that window, is that the month of July we'll see everything come unraveled. And it's only July the 3rd, and it's already coming true. So get your shit together. I am so honored to be working with friends that I've made here and have had in Sebastopol. I hope all of you are forming your networks, are thinking about things like how do you communicate when the power goes out. There's checklists all over CollapseNet, but you'll find them all in our free Lighthouse directory with more than 400 hand-picked listings that have been carefully screened and selected, organized by region, by you name it. You can shuffle that deck any way you want to, and there's a lot of people that have done a lot of work. It's not too late. You're going to find a lot of thinking has been done for you. But now also learn how to pace yourself. That is so important. As a cop and around the military people that I've known and experiences with them that I have had, it is so clear that the purpose of training and drill is to keep people from going into a panic mode because you burn out too fast. And you can't go into high-speed overdrive, get everything done, because you won't make it for the long haul. You won't hold it together. So learn how to pace yourself. Do not beat yourselves up. Even if you're just listening to this show for the first time tonight, you are no longer the slowest camper. And the bear's not going to get you. Find things to be grateful for every day. Look at the things that you have done, the things that you have, and the awarenesses that you have. Show gratitude for that. Don't beat yourself up, because all we claim here is progress, not perfection. And all of us who have been doing this for a while have good reason to celebrate tonight. I love you guys very much. I'll be back next week with another episode of the Lifeboat Hour. Good night.